path along life's highway. So common and well trod by the shoes of burdened Christians who won't put their trust in God.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret with your host, author, and teacher, Sylvia Pierce. The Liberating Secret is dedicated to revealing the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Let's join Sylvia Pierce for today's lesson.
He died and rose again to set me free.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm so glad to be with you again today. We're in the book of Colossians, and we're in the first chapter. And like I told you last time, verse 9 of the first chapter, all the way through 14, is one of the greatest prayers. You might want to pray for yourself. You want to pray this prayer for your family, for your church fellowship, for your city, for your country, even. Wow, that's wonderful. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians, and they certainly had gotten off track, not all of them, because there were faithful saints there, and there were intercessors there holding forth Christ and Christ alone to be. You see, the Colossians tried to dethrone Christ. My goodness, how can you do that? Well, when you add anything to the gospel, you're dethroning Christ and his finished work at the cross, I can tell you that. Then when you're drawn off into vain philosophy, and actually they probably thought Jesus was an angel or a top angel, maybe an archangel or something, and not God himself. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's pretty serious. You know, if you don't believe that Christ came in the flesh, then that's the spirit of Antichrist, 1 John says. Well, the Colossians were, some of them, and not all of them, but some of them were following this Gnostic understanding where they believed that all matter was evil. So therefore, Christ couldn't come in the flesh. My goodness, that gets pretty serious. So Paul is telling the Colossians, go back to your root. Go back to your foundation. Christ is your foundation. The foundation is Christ and Christ alone. He says that over and over and over in all of his writings, in Paul's writings. And so let me start with verse 9 again. I think it's probably one of the main verses in this whole little book of Colossians. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, and he's talking about their faith, when he heard their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now there's a difference between fleshly understanding and spiritual understanding. Now Paul's always coming against the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. There's two wisdoms. I mean, James says there's two wisdoms in chapter 3 of James. He talks the wisdom of God is loving and peaceful. The wisdom of this world is confusion. It's really Babylon. Really, it's confusion. But it starts out puffing up your mind and making you think that through mental ascent that you can attain to great heights. And I think our world is filled with people that they believe that because of their mental understanding and what they've learned, you see, that they can move in great heights. Even in Christianity, you see, it's not what we've learned intellectually. I have a friend. He's a theologian, precious man. He's a doctor, has his doctorate degree in theology, and is a great man of God and humble, the most humble theologian I've ever met. I'll tell you that. He's not sitting around trying to prove to everybody everything he knows. I can tell you that. He is not. He is a precious, precious man, and I'm sure there's a lot of others that way. I'm not trying to put theologians down, because they have their work too. But he told me that what he really knows does not come from his studies. What he really knows comes from the Holy Spirit, and that's the truth. And actually, I knew a theologian that is brilliant, probably a genius level of intellect, and he studied at two different theological schools, and one in Scotland and other in Germany, and he came back to America and became a minister. a year or so as a minister, some of the ministers got together in his area, and somebody came to him. One of the ministers approached him and said, "Jim, who is the Holy Spirit?" Well, Jim said and gave all of his theological understanding of who the Holy Spirit was. And, you know, all of a sudden he realized he didn't really know who didn't know the Holy Spirit. He knew about the Holy Spirit. He could give all the theological answers to that, but he did not know the Holy Spirit. Do we know God? That's the point. We can know about Him and have great understanding and great, but that's fleshly wisdom. That will get you nowhere in the kingdom of God, I promise you. I mean, ask Jesus when He was here on this earth. He was not impressed with anybody that had great fleshly understanding. You know, He was impressed with the humble and sweet. Basically, He said, blessed are they that are humble, and blessed are they that are meek. Blessed are they that don't have all this fleshly understanding. And Paul certainly is coming against that in 1 Corinthians. He says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. The wisdom of God is totally different. So if you're a Christian, just having spiritual understanding about Christianity, about Christ, will not save you. You've got to know the person himself, and you can only do that by receiving him. Well, that theologian, that friend of mine, Jim, went to his office and went to Romans chapter 8. Let me read you that verse that he read. It's in chapter 8 of Romans, and he realized he didn't even know the Holy Spirit. Now, look what it says in verse 9. It says, but if any man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. He doesn't belong to Christ. He doesn't belong to God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't even belong to God. Wow. He got on his knees right by his desk, and he was already a minister and gave his heart to Jesus. And this other minister that I know, this theologian that I know, he, like I said, he's one of the most humble men that I know on the face of this earth. And he says all that he really knows is what he knows from God, from the mind of Christ. So there is a difference between intellectual understanding and the mind of Christ, which is spiritual understanding. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. And see, you can get diverted off in your mind and get puffed up with all the things that you know. I can remember a time in my life when my husband didn't know one scripture. Well, I was beginning to know a few, not very much, but I was starting to get puffed up because of all that I knew and what I'd memorized. I even memorized verses through the navigators, and I was starting to get all impressed with myself. But I came home to my husband, and he's a Christian too, but yet he didn't know one scripture. And I thought, oh my gosh, but he just loves people. And then I saw the scripture that says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And it sure humbled me, I can tell you that. All right, this is what Paul is saying. You, Colossians, be filled with the true wisdom, the true understanding, the true mind of Christ, which is other than your fleshly mind that can understand through reasoning. You see, reason in this day and time has replaced simple faith. And simply the mind of Christ is not just what we can reason, it's what we take by faith. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ, but you have to take that by faith. Somebody said to a minister I know, well, I don't feel like I have the mind of Christ. I have all these raunchy thoughts in my mind. Well, that was just being honest. I think we all might occasionally, maybe more than occasionally. But the minister said back to him something very wise. Now, wait a minute. Do you have Christ in you? And the man said, well, yes. He said, do you think he left behind his mind? He said, oh, well, no. If I had Christ, I've got his mind too. Okay. Then you've got another mind. You have the whole another life of another. Not your life, but the life of another in you. Wow. Now, that's where you're going to find the true understanding and the true spiritual wisdom. That's what's going to ground you in the truth of the gospel. And it will take you to depths and heights that no intellectual understanding could ever take you. It's going to take you out of the realm of really the physical into the supernatural, into the super sensual. What do I mean by super central? Super central is above the senses. Well, there's been a lot of false mysticism too that promises you to take you above your senses into some kind of Eastern mysticism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you know the Holy Spirit, you're going to be operating and living in the things not seen, which is above my senses, which is super central. You're going to be living above senses. Above what? About what senses? Above my five senses. Into another life that has new spiritual senses as well. Wow. Has new sights, has new hearing. Didn't Jesus say that? He that hath an ear, he that hath ears. That's spiritual understanding, spiritual senses. That's what Paul is praying for these Colossians. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Not in the knowledge of this world. Not in philosophical knowledge or speculative knowledge, which won't get you anywhere. Speculation is like your opinion. That can be different today than it will be tomorrow, maybe. Even in our medical field and in science, people speculate and they tell us, now this is the fact. And next year, 2 or 3 years from that, it's not the fact anymore. So it's still theory. Excuse me. Okay, but this is what he says, that you might be walk worthy. Well, that seems like that I've got to make myself worthy. That's not what he's talking about. Walking worthy really is the quality of the work that you're doing. What is the quality? Not the quantity, how much you're doing, but the quality of it. The quality. Okay, it doesn't matter what, how much you do. That's why it was sin for David to even number his people. I mean, the number game can be sin, you know. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. Okay, it's about true wisdom that comes from God. A true ministry of the Spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit that is ministering out through you, through His living through you, that might have a wise word for this person or that person? That's walking worthy. Walking worthy means the quality of your life is, it's really God walking in you. Just like I read in Philippians, and I'm going to read this again, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you have to work hard to be right with God. It doesn't. We don't live by our own rightness anyway. We live by the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ within us, who is our righteousness. That's what we live by. But Colossians 2 says, work out your own salvation. That means work out of you what's already in you. Okay, Christ is the one that is in you. He is the one that has the knowledge. He is the one that has the wisdom. He is the one that has the understanding. And actually, 1 Corinthians says, Christ is the wisdom. Christ is the power within you. He is your sanctification. He is your justification. He is your glorification. So it's Christ the person. We have a person. Salvation is a person. It's not a thing we have. We're so separate-minded in our thinking. We think we get things. We don't get things. We get the person. We get the Spirit Himself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what does that mean? The next verse tells us, for it is God which works in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. It's going to have to take some work to work that out of you. Why do I say that? Why does it take work? What kind of work? The work of faith. It's just simple faith. I'm just going to believe that God is in me, that Christ is in me. He said He is. It's childlike faith. I'm just going to believe in me. So I'm just going to believe that He's going to work out of me. He's going to do His will out of me spontaneously. I don't have to figure out what His will is every 5 seconds. I'm just going to live by His life, and it will spontaneously, I'll be walking His will. I won't have to hunt it up. And He's going to be doing His good pleasure in me, and I might have some pleasure along the way too. Wow, you mean Christianity can have some pleasure in it? A whole lot. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's life-changing. It's when you have the fountain of living water living in you, the abundant life coming out of you, My goodness, there's nothing any greater. You'll look at television and say, oh, that's nothing. You'll look at some of the movies and all of the movies, the way people jump around and they act like they're flying and all that. That's nothing. We fly in the Spirit. We move in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We see things accomplished by the Spirit of God. It's not by works or nor by might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. So that's increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthening with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Well, we don't think of His glorious power as being the power to have patience, the power to have longsuffering when things are happening to us, the power to be joyful in the middle of my tribulation. That's what He's saying here, that He might strengthen us with His glorious power so that we can have patience. We don't think of power as having patience. We think of power as, I'm going to pray for somebody and they're going to be raised from the dead, or I'm going to, do some powerful work that way. But that's true too. I'm not saying it's not. But it might take more power to be patient when things are going wrong. It might take more power to have long suffering when people aren't changing. And they're driving you crazy, because life will drive you crazy, believe me. I mean, we don't have to act like it won't. It will. Apart from Christ and apart from His life and apart from His life coming out of you, life will drive you crazy. It will not work. It will work one day and the next day it won't. It's like John Denver's song, one day a diamond, the next day a stone. So, I mean, feast or famine, we always say. Well, it's going to be that way. That's the outer life. It's only the inner life, the rock that we stand on within, which is Christ within us, that will hold us firm on that foundation and will keep us to the end. We can't even keep ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. But His glorious power is long-suffering. So you say, well, I just can't put up with that person anymore. They're driving me crazy. Well, I mean, I've said that. You've said that. We can't act like that we don't feel that way. We do. Ah. You already have His glorious power in you that will sustain you and be the long suffering inside of you that will also be your patience. You can't be your own patience. You don't have to muster up long suffering. You don't have to muster up patience. No, His glorious power will strengthen you, and you will. He is your patience. You keep your eye on Jesus. And you have the single eye of faith. You see God in your circumstances instead of seeing your problems and people greater than God. See, that's what we're doing. We're seeing more people and problems much greater than God. God is little and problems are big. That's a lie. God is big, problems are little. When we see God is big, the problems are little. They minimize. When we see the problems as big, we minimize God. We have it backwards. You see, this is glorious power, so you can have patience. Wow, that's a different way of looking at power. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh my gosh, do I love this verse. Let me go all the way to the end, come back to that verse, because, wow, I mean, I could just talk forever on that one verse. Who has already delivered us from the power of darkness? Do you believe that you've already been delivered from the power of darkness? Satan has no power over you? Well, the Bible says it. This is the prayer of faith that Paul is praying for the Colossian people. You have been delivered from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh my gosh, those are glorious words. You see, when these words really come home in our heart, they make my heart want to sing. They make my heart want to burst with joy. You see, the joy comes out of me like living water, like bubbles of living water coming out. Because it just makes me so happy and thrilled on the inside that I've been translated into the kingdom of God. Yesterday or the day before, I was just thinking about that. I'm a child of God, the God that created everything. I'm His child. Do you realize what a privilege that is? That we are made partakers of a divine nature, even a divine inheritance that will bring life and peace and love inside of us and forgiveness and the creativity of the Spirit will burst out of us in surprising ways that will just surprise me and everybody else, that God is able to do this in me. I thought I was the least of everybody. There's no way. I thought I was the throwaway. That's why Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are meek. Blessed are they that think they're weak and are nothing. They're the ones I'm going to give the joy to. They're the ones. You see, if you already think you have everything, if you already think you have all the knowledge, you have all the understanding, you can quote the scripture and have not love and have not the person of love himself, which is Jesus within you, you don't have anything. You don't know anything. You're foolish, actually, the Bible says. So what makes us wise? It's not what we've learned in our head. It's what we know in our heart. And that's Jesus. And he has the true wisdom. And it says in verse 3 of chapter 2 of Colossians, Christ, in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why would we want anything else when we've got him who is the head of all and who is the treasure of all wisdom and all knowledge? If you're going after wisdom and you're going after knowledge, I mean, we're in the age of going after wisdom and knowledge of this world and not after the wisdom and knowledge of God. We better repent of that and just be simple like simple children and go after the wisdom of God, which is, and Paul says, he says, I'm jealous over you. You've been beguiled. I'm jealous over you. I want to present you like a virgin, like a child. You know, I want to pure before God without spot or wrinkle. And you can't have that unless you've got the childlike virgin spirit, the Holy Spirit within, the spirit of holiness within us. See, we've dropped all holiness. We think, oh, that's all hellfire, damnation. We don't need to hear that anymore. We've moved so far into grace, we don't even care about holiness anymore. Well, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the spirit of holiness within you. It is about holiness. It's not about me trying to be my own holiness and me trying to have my hair and no makeup and, you know, long skirts and look holy. That's outer holiness. That doesn't mean anything. It's the holiness of the heart. And you can't have that holiness without the Holy One living in you being your sanctification. Christ is your sanctification. It says that in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, God has made unto you Christ, who is your wisdom, sanctification, justification, reconciliation. He is it. So that's what you have when you're in Christ. And don't veer away from that simplicity that's there in knowing that's in Christ. You'll be the wisest people on earth. People will think they know got a lot of head knowledge, but you'll have wisdom. I'm telling you, if you're in a group, you'll listen to a person that can pop off a bunch of information for a while. But everybody really wants to hear somebody that has true revelation. There's a difference between information and revelation. Revelation from the Holy Spirit, true knowledge and understanding from the Holy Spirit. Wow, that can't be beat. That person, you know, pretty soon people will get tired of hearing all the information and they'll want to hear the real wisdom. And people do know it when they hear it. You do it. You know it in your heart when you hear the truth. I mean, even an unsaved person knows in his heart when he hears the truth. That is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. That's why none of us are without excuse before God, because there's a place in every person with enough light that when we hear the truth, we know it's the truth. You see, so we have to refuse that truth, which is Christ himself. He is the truth. We have to refuse that to be lost, because we are without excuse. So no man can say, well, I didn't, he come up with some kind of excuse. My minister didn't tell me that. Doesn't matter. My parents didn't tell me that. Doesn't matter. My friends didn't tell me that. Doesn't matter. You can't blame it on anybody else. You see, your heart will know the truth when it hears it. And that truth will set you free if you really want it. Most people don't want to be free from their demons. They don't. They like their pride. They like learning, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They love their learning. They love the pride that they know more than other people. They've got to be in the know. We've got to be in the know. We've got to be on top of things so we can be greater than people. See, that's evil. That's the pride of the devil. That's the devil's pride right there. God says you humble yourself before God and he'll lift you up. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me, God, Jesus says. You'll be my child. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He will be filled. But remember this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these outer things will gradually come to you, but they're secondary. They're secondary. We're not to seek first the outer things first. We're first to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? Jesus says the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is Christ within us. I'm not saying that there is not a heavenly transcendent heaven. Of course there is. But we've got to know the kingdom of God within here, now, here and now, because Jesus is that kingdom and he is within us and he is the spirit of liberation that will set you free. Now that's what we teach here on The Liberating Secret. It's not a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. And when you hear it, you will know that the only way that you can truly be free is if Christ is your liberation. You know, people might help you temporarily and might put a Band-Aid on you for a while, but nothing will permanently help you until you're totally set free by the Liberator himself, Jesus, the Son of God, who set you apart from the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light. Just stand in Jesus, who is your life. Do you feel like he's still there? Maybe you don't. You take it by faith. You said that you would come in me and you'd never leave me, Jesus. So I'm going to take it. You're still there. So thank you for watching us, and may God richly bless you. Be sure to tune in next time for the rest of the Colossians letter. It's exciting. So don't miss it. Bye.
You have been listening to The Liberating Secret with Sylvia Pierce. We want to send a special thank you to all our supporters who make this program possible. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to contact Sylvia, you can write her at P.O. Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky, 40253. That's Post Office Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky, 40253. You can also find more of Sylvia's teachings on her website. The web address is www.theliberatingsecret.com. That's www.theliberatingsecret.com. And be sure to listen again right here, Monday through Friday at this same time, for The Liberating Secret with author and teacher Sylvia Pierce. So until next time, may God richly bless you.